Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended high above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. These laid the foundation for the church because they wrote the New Testament. We don't have apostles and prophets in the church anymore. We don't need anyone to lay a foundation. It's laid. He gave then evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Brothers, and those of you who fear God, listen, and you will know what Jesus accomplished while his body lay in the tomb for 3 days. Let's pray. Blessed Yahweh, our Father, and Jesus, your only begotten Son at your right hand, and your Holy Spirit dwelling in our bodies, and we who are led by your Spirit are the sons of God. Yahweh, we have heard with our ears and we have read in the Scriptures the work that you accomplished when you brought your people out of the iron furnace, out of bondage in Egypt, how you destroyed that nation, how you parted the sea, and how you brought them into the land which you had promised their fathers. How you drove those nations out with your right hand. How by their sword they did not conquer their land, and by their hand they did not conquer it. But it was your right hand and the light of your presence that planted them in that land and spread them into all the earth. And now, God, we pray thee that our King Jesus might command victories for your people. Gird your sword on your thigh, O majestic one. Command victories for your people. And let your arrows be in the hearts of your enemies. For you and you alone are God, and there is none besides you, and we are your people. I ask your message, your blessing on this message, God, to the encouragement of your people and to the accomplishment of the purpose that you have set forth for your church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text says that when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. It says he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Where did he descend to? Well, Jesus gives a description of this place in Luke chapter 16. That place is called Hades. In the Old Testament, it is called Sheol. Jacob, when Jacob heard of the death of his son, Joseph, he said, my gray head will go down into Sheol in mourning. Sheol is down. It is in the lower parts of the earth. And Jesus describes it in Luke chapter 16. It says in verse 20, a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate. Oh, let's begin in verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man. He habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that none of those who wish to come over from here to you may be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. This isn't hell. This is not the second death. The second death is a lake of fire. But this is where the dead await the coming of the judgment. And who's there? Abraham is there. Jacob said, My soul will descend into Sheol in mourning. Jacob's there. Lazarus is there. And there in a side, a compartment of Hades, Sheol, that is called Abraham's bosom. In other places, it's called paradise. Okay? When you die, you don't go to heaven. Heaven doesn't exist yet. When this earth is burned up with fire, a new heavens and a new earth will come down. And we will go there. But right now, it's in the future. Just like the lake of fire is in the future. Where do you go when you die? You go to paradise. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, he knows a man, I think the man was Paul, was caught up into third heaven, up into paradise. Paradise is no longer down. Paradise is now up. How did it get up there? When he ascended on high, speaking of Jesus, he led forth a host of captives. This expression that he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? In Acts chapter 2, verse 25 through 27, speaking of the Christ, Peter says, I was always beholding Yahweh in my presence. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Now, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Does he live in you? Okay. Then who is this scripture written to? Yahweh is at my right hand. I'm always beholding him in my presence. Written to you, brother. You are always beholding Yahweh in your presence, as our brother from Glendive shared with us. That's worship. What will you bring into the presence of a holy God? A holy life. A life that has been cleansed of sin. A life in which the indwelling Spirit gives life to our mortal body, as the scripture says, through his Spirit who indwells us. You will not be shaken. But he also goes on to quote the 16th Psalm and says, he was not abandoned to Hades. So what happened? Well, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John 19:31, the Jews therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man that was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. When they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Probably been dead for several hours. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And then John emphasizes that. Jesus was dead when they put the spear through his ribs and pierced his heart, and blood and water came out. He was already dead. That has tremendous significance. When you are immersed into Christ, what are you immersed into? His death. Where's the blood present to cleanse sin? In his death. I mean, you can say, you see it everywhere, they say this little sinner's prayer, the magic prayer. You say this, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me and come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. Magic prayer, does it work? Doesn't work. No, not found anywhere in the scripture. There's something else not found anywhere in the scripture. Magic water. How many people do you know who have been immersed into Christ? And they do not act like nor live like Christians. Don't show up for the assembly. Have no personal time of prayer and devotion to God. You don't see any change in their life from when they were immersed and when after they're immersed. No change. What happened? Well, there are a lot of people. Scripture says, Peter says in 2 Peter, make certain his calling and choosing you. If you think the water is magic, that just because you get immersed, excuse me, that you get a get out of hell free card and a ticket into heaven, That's not the way it works. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What do you think when you're carrying a cross? What was Jesus thinking when he was carrying that cross up the hill to Golgotha? What was going through his head? My life on this earth is over. It's finished. That's what she's thinking. What do you got to be thinking to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and to be immersed into Christ? He said, make disciples of all the nations, immersing them. We immerse disciples. Men and women who believe that when, before they go in that water, they believe that when they go down into that water, their old life is over. Their old self is being crucified. They will no longer live for themselves. They will live for Jesus. They confess Jesus as Lord before they go down into that water. They deny themselves. Deny yourself, Jesus said. You deny the lordship of self. Peter denied Christ 3 times. What did he say? I don't know the man. When you deny yourself, you say, I don't know the man, Larry, who is Lord of my life. Larry isn't going to be Lord any longer. How many Lords are there? One Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you decide to be immersed, you confess him as Lord. That means you are not. You are no longer the master of your own life. You are no longer the master of your own destiny. Jesus Christ is. And we go into that water believing that we will lay our life down. That our old self will be buried with Christ. And a new self, forgiven of sin, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. A new creation in Christ Jesus will be raised up out of that water. Excuse me. Make certain his calling and choosing you. I was immersed when I was 12 years old. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And when I came out of the service, went to Great Falls, an independent Christian church, preacher named Danny Camp. He immersed me. I didn't have a clue. I really didn't. I wasn't laying my life down. I didn't know. I thought, well, my sins will be forgiven. But I had no clue about the Holy Spirit. Make certain his calling and choosing you. If you didn't get it done right the first time or the second time or the third, whatever, do it right. John chapter 19. They broke the legs of the thieves. Jesus told one of those thieves, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. They came to Jesus. He's already dead. They put a spear in his side and blood and water came out. That blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. In Matthew 26, when Jesus sets in place the Lord's Supper, he says, this is my blood of the covenant shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. You know, you can read in the scripture, all through the four Gospels, the accounts of Jesus' suffering and persecution, or suffering and death. They took him and they beat him. And I'm sure his nose was bleeding. I'm sure his face was bleeding, but there's no mention of blood. And they took him and they pulled his beard out. I'm sure he was bleeding. But there's no mention of blood. They pressed a crown of thorns down into his forehead, and I'm sure the blood was running in his eyes. But there's no mention of blood. They scourged him. Scourging was usually 39 lashes. They would take the Romans, they had a whip, and it was leather. And in the tongs, they would tie pieces of metal and glass. And then the Roman soldier would piss on it. And they would take it, and the lash would fall, and the blood would fly. They lacerated his back. But there's no mention of blood. The only mention of blood is here in John chapter 19. Soldier put a spear in his side. He was already dead. Where was he? That was his body. But where was Jesus? Where was his spirit? Ephesians 4 says, he descended into the lower parts of earth. Scripture says he was not abandoned there, but he descended down into Hades. So he's been there for, I don't know, probably an hour or two, and who shows up? Probably high-fived him. The thief. The thief who confessed his faith in him while hanging on the cross. He shows up. Abraham's there. Joseph's there. The thief's there. Lazarus is there. Why are they there? Well, turn to Psalm 24. This is an amazing psalm. And it asks the question. Psalm 24:3. Who may ascend into the hill of Yahweh? Who may stand in his holy place? Good question, isn't it? Who can? Could Abraham? He says in verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. If I had done to my wife what Abraham did to his wife, I would probably be divorced. You cannot deceitfully give your wife to another man and say, she's my sister. It's true, wasn't it? But it was deceitful. Abraham could not ascend the hill of the Lord. Abraham could not stand before a holy God. That's why they're in Hades. Their faith placed them in the bosom of Abraham. Their faith placed them in paradise, but they could not ascend the hill of the Lord. So who's there? Abraham's there. Jacob's there. Joseph is there. David's there. Moses is there. Ruth is there. Esther's there. All the Old Testament great men and women who had faith in the coming of the Messiah. Job is there. He said, "My Redeemer will take his stand on the earth." They're there. They're in Hades. And the wicked are there on the other side of the chasm. None of them can come into the presence of God. Who can? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to falsehood has not sworn deceitfully. Who would that be? Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in the presence of a holy God. And so Jesus is down in Hades, and while he's in Hades, this soldier comes by and shoves a spear between his rib and pierces his heart, and the blood and water immediately flow out. That blood is for the forgiveness of sins. Whose sins? Read the book of Hebrews. Sins of the people who lived before the death of Christ, people who will live after it, people who live right now. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of their sins. So what happened? Jesus is in Hades. Soldier puts a spear up into his side and the blood and the water come out. What happens is right here in Psalm 24. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates. Sounds like these gates are like they're alive. Doesn't it? Lift up your heads, O gates. Like the angelic being that God placed in the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Yahweh. Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? It's a good question for you. Who's the King of glory? It's Yahweh. Who is Jesus? He's Yahweh. He's Yahweh. He is the King of glory. Suppose those gates lifted up? I mean, you can read about what goes down here. Psalm 18, verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me. Torrents of ungodliness terrified me. Cords of Sheol surrounded me. Snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry for help before him came to his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. Fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. Now you can go on and read that. What do you suppose the gates did? Were they lifted up? Jesus said, on this rock, in Matthew chapter 16, and he was not referring to Peter. He was referring to Peter's confession that he is the Son of God. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. He ripped open the gates of Hades with his own blood and ascended the hill of the Lord. He ascended, leading captive a host of captives. And paradise was caught up into the presence of Yahweh. So when he ascended that hill, who did he encounter? Who was in heaven? Ever read the book of Job? When the sons of God present themselves before Yahweh, who's among them? Satan. Satan is up there. If you read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, it tells of Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan at his right hand to accuse him. Now, Joshua was the high priest. But Joshua was not in heaven. The Greek word for Joshua is what? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus. So who is the standing in heaven with Satan at his right hand accusing him? And the scripture says he was clothed in filthy garments. Isaiah says in chapter 6, our righteousness is as filthy garments. And when Jesus was hanged on that cross, he bore our sin in his body on that cross. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. And though he had committed no sin, though there was no deceitful word in his mouth, though he could ascend the hill of the Lord, he was clothed in filthy garments, and Satan stood there to accuse him. And the angel of the Lord said, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Take the filthy garments from him and clothe him in festal robes. Put a new turban, a clean turban on his head. Yahweh knows, doesn't he? So then what happens? That's where this really gets interesting. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. I guess Satan kind of liked being in heaven. Jesus ascended, leading captive a host of captives, and there was a war. Verse 8, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil of Satan, who deceives the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. What happened when the accuser was thrown down? What happened when Jesus overcame him by his blood? What happened when he overcame him by the testimony? The testimony of prophecy is Jesus. And they did not love their own lives even unto death, the scripture says. And the accuser of the brethren was thrown down. Kind of nice to think that when you go up into paradise, there's no accuser up there. Jesus changed a lot. While his body was laying in the tomb, he made some big changes in heaven. The boss showed up and said, some things have got to go. Devil, you're one of them. He resisted, and they waged a war, and the devil was thrown down. And his angels were thrown down with him, verse 9. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses him before our God day and night. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, which is what? Jesus. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Now, salvation, power, the kingdom of God, and the authority of his Christ have come. And Jesus was raised from the dead and stepped out of that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and appeared. For 40 days he appeared. And before he ascended, what did he say? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When did that happen? When he threw the accuser down. Then came the power and the kingdom of God and his authority. He is the king. It's kind of like, you ever read the life of David? It kind of is, the whole thing is a prophecy of Jesus. The accuser sat at the gate. It was David's own son. Telling everybody, oh, I'd have judged different if I was on the throne. And then that guy led a war against his father David. And at the conclusion of that war, which David won, David realized, it says, David realized that God had made him king. And he ascended the throne. He always was on the throne. He ascended the throne. And so Jesus, having finished these battles, fighting this war in heaven, he appeared for 40 days. And then he ascended. Go back and read Leviticus 17. The Day of Atonement, which is a prophecy. These are spiritual or are physical things that teach us to process to be able to see the spiritual things. On the Day of Atonement, what did the high priest do? He sacrificed a bull. And he took the blood. And he took the altar of incense. And he shoved it behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. So that the smoke, the incense, would shield him from the Shekinah of Yahweh. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. How many times did he do that? Huh? No. Not once. Go back and read Leviticus 17. He came out and appeared. If he didn't do it right, he's not going to come out. You better do it right. He did it right. He'd come out and appear. Then what did he do? He would sacrifice a goat. A sin offering, a goat. And he would take the blood of that sin offering, and a second time he would go behind the veil and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. The first time he sprinkled the blood of the bull was for what? For his own sin. Jesus bore our sin in his body. He entered, he ascended the hill of the Lord, and he essentially sprinkled that blood for himself. And then he came out. He was raised from the dead. He appeared. Now he's entered the second time. He has ascended through the clouds. He's ascended and he has taken the throne. He's not out there fighting anymore. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He ascends. And there's only one sacrifice for all time. He doesn't need to get killed twice. He ascends. And with spiritual blood, he cleanses the holy. Why has he got to cleanse heaven? Because the devil's been up there. You ever read in John chapter 10, Jesus is present at the Feast of Dedication in the temple? What was the Feast of Dedication? The Jews still celebrated. That's when Antiochus Epiphanes came in and desecrated the temple. He offered pigs on the altar in the temple. And so the priests had to go in and cleanse the temple. Satan and his angels have been up there in heaven. Jesus fights a war, throws them down. He ascends and he cleanses heaven with spiritual blood. And he ascends the throne. He is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It was impossible for death to hold him, because a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek has an imperishable life. He has eternal life. And Jesus ascends into heaven. Now he lives ever to make intercession on our behalf for the sins of the people. When you confess your sin, John says, he is just and righteous to forgive your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And there's no devil up there to tell him you can't do that. He can do that. He is the majestic one. He is the Lord of glory. He is the one who fought the battle and threw the evil one down. And heaven is cleansed. And so now what are we waiting for? The high priest has ascended and lives to make atonement on our behalf, intercession on our behalf. We're waiting for him to come out. He goes in with the blood of the goat. Now he's got to come out. He hadn't come out yet. But brothers and sisters, he will come out. He will appear for the salvation of his people. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Command victories for your people. Let your arrows be in the hearts of your enemies. Make these nations the footstool of your feet. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And until you come, command victories. Maranatha. Amen.